Welcome to the Seasoned Athlete Podcast, your home for stories, inspiration, and advice from athletes over 40. I'm your host, Robin Leggett. I'm a later-in-life athlete who became a roller derby skater in my 30s and a runner and obstacle racer in my 40s. Now, I'm an athletic aging coach who helps women over 40 experience the massive life benefits that come with exploring your athletic potential at any age and any fitness background. If that fires you up, keep listening. Let's do this. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to fit a fitness routine into your schedule in a way that doesn't overcomplicate your already busy life? Take a big breath, take a step back, and then start with your first 5 days. Your first 5 days is a free mini challenge that's all about setting that foundation to get you back into your body, your energy, and your confidence with simplicity and ease. Each day during your first 5 days, you'll get daily mini podcast episodes that you can listen to while you move. Each episode will give you simple tips and action steps you can use to make fitness a part of your everyday life in a way that doesn't feel heavy, hard, or stressful. Now is your time to get back into daily movement and experience all the magical stress-reducing, energy-boosting benefits that come with it. And it starts with your first 5 days. Get it for free at robinleggett.com/5. I periodically get feedback from seasoned athlete listeners about how they want to hear more later-in-life athlete stories. Of course, we talk to athletes from all walks of life and varying backgrounds here, and every story is wonderful and amazing and inspirational and awesome. But there is something about hearing directly from people who had nothing to do with sports for most of their lives, only to find their way into an athletic lifestyle later on. Stacy Griner is one such story. Stacy likes to say that she simply did not sweat for most of her life. But for her, a major life transition pulled her to the outdoors and led her to the first steps in her newfound athletic journey starting in her 40s. How did Stacy go from the perspiration-free life to piling on race medals? I'll let her tell you. Here is Stacy Griner. Hi, Stacy. Are you ready to drop some seasoned athlete knowledge on our listeners today?
Yeah, let's do it.
I love it. You are Stacy Griner. You're the owner of Kika Stretch Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. You're a mindset and business coach for midlife women and a wellness consultant for startups and small businesses. And you are a later in life athlete. And that's really what we're going to get into here today. So from here, I'm going to ask the question I ask all my guests, and that is, what is your age at this moment in time?
I am 49.
49, on the verge of 50. On the verge of 50. You know, in racing terms, that means you're about to age up to another age.
Yes.
Which, you know, in that world, we were actually like really proud of, you know, moving up.
Yes. Super competitive.
Yeah. So you know what that's all about. That's the philosophy I want to spread all over all of womankind, is that, you know, it's a good thing to get older. We know it. So let's go back in time. What did your early athletic life look like? Did you play sports growing up?
No, I did not.
You did not. Tell me more. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I was a cheerleader. Okay. Cheerleading was much different than it is now. But I did cheerleading for a while, like in elementary and middle school. But, you know, I would say once I hit puberty, you know, the idea of sweating, you know, just didn't work out for me.
It's just not, I'm just not into the idea of it. You know, you told me, we had a little conversation before this interview, and you said, like, I didn't sweat until a certain age.
Like, right.
Fascinating.
Right. Literally.
And even with the cheerleading, and you know, cheerleading, like you said, it looks very differently now. A lot of us have watched Cheer on Netflix, and
yes,
things that they go through, they put their bodies through so much now, but that's just not what it was like when you and I, because you and I are similar age, when you and I were growing up, it wasn't quite like that. So when you say you didn't break a sweat, you mean it.
Yeah, totally. I admire those young women now, because I don't have been like doing it either. I'd be like, whoa.
They're gymnasts, they're acrobats, they're daredevils. Yes. Like, it's a whole different universe now. But you could get away with not sweating back when you were in middle school in the 80s, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you weren't into sweating. It was just not your jam. So what What changed and when did it change?
So it changed when I turned 40, you know, that monumental milestone age. I had been married for almost 13 and a half years, but I was with my ex-husbands. We've known each other since we were kids, like 9 years old. Wow. And we were going through a divorce, and I was living in the Bay Area, and I started hiking Stanford Dish. So some of your Bay Area listeners might know where that is. And it's, I think it's a 3.7 mile loop. It's pretty hilly. It's about 500 feet of elevation. And so I started walking that just to have some time and space for myself and to just really think about my life. And when I first started doing the loop, or the dish as they call it, it would take me like an hour and 20 minutes or something, like an hour and a half. And so each day I kind of started thinking, I should be able to walk a little bit faster than that. You know, you're out there, you see other people running, you see people, you know, who look about the same age as you running the loop. And so I sort of made it in my head, like, oh, I wonder if I could run that one day. And so that was kind of like where everything started.
I find it interesting that, you know, you had this lifelong relationship. So it had to be massive when it ended, just massively difficult and painful and hard. And so why do you think, you know, going out into nature was, as someone who never was into sweating, you know, going out into nature was a coping mechanism for you, or a place to get back in touch with yourself? Can you kind of dive into that a little bit more?
I can. So I'm originally from New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. I grew up in a little suburb outside of Newark called East Orange. So big city living. And then when I, you know, as an adult, I started my career in New York City. So when I moved to the Bay Area, it was a big change for us. Neither one of us had ever really been more than, like, I would say 20 minutes from family. But what that did for me, especially because we had been married for so long and because we were young parents, we had our first son at 18, moving away from family was like a catalyst for me to sort of have a little bit more room to make decisions on my own. And so walking, you know, when I was having that difficult time, the walking sort of gave me the space. And I really started to appreciate just being out in nature and recognizing the peacefulness of it. Like, it's not a lot of, you know, it's not like the city.
Yeah, right.
With traffic and noise and sirens and, you know, it's not a lot of people. And I just really started to enjoy the peacefulness of it. And so, you know, the dish was like my entry point into that. And then I started, you know, going to Rancho San Antonio and, you know, all of the other places in the Bay Area that started taking you into the woods, so to speak. And it just became a place of solitude. And it was really difficult. It was, you know, that was the place where, you know, I shed some tears and, but it was a place where I felt, you know, where I could really hear God talk to me. So that's really where it was.
Did you find answers and healing out in nature like that?
I definitely did. I found strength too. Like I said, I didn't sweat until I was 40. So I started, you know, I have two boys. I should say two young men now, because they are 31 and 21 now. But back then,
they're always your boys.
Right. They were like 18. And here's the funny thing. I raised athletes.
There's some irony.
It's okay for them to sweat, but not me.
Yeah.
But the funny part was, like, when I was going through that, you know, when I first started telling them about, hey, you know, I go to this dish, you should come here with me. You know, and they were like, oh. And I can remember my youngest son laughing because it took me so long to run a mile. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I think at the time he's like, I don't know, like 10 or so. He could run a mile in like 7 minutes or something.
Yeah, he's been running miles his whole life. So he has no understanding of it being hard for somebody.
Like 15, 20 minutes to just, you know, walk it. But the great part about that is that that also gave me an opportunity to connect with them, because in the beginning they were like laughing at me, but in the end, in the end, what I was able to do in my becoming an athlete, they've never been able to touch. So,
well, let's talk about that, because you went beyond
how I am.
This is at the beginning and end of your story as well. She was going through a tough time in her life and she went hiking and she's an athlete. Now you went way beyond that. So tell me how your athletic journey moved into organized events. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So like I said, at the time, it was a really, a matter of like really finding myself and finding my voice. You know, coming to some realizations about who I am and who I love. And I found this organization called Black Girls Run, and they didn't have a big following in the South Bay. But they, you know, they had quite a presence in like Oakland and things like that. And so I just connected with a few women, and I got in a community of these women who were into running, and they were like, hey, you can do a half marathon. And I was like, I don't even know if I could run a mile without stopping. But they were very supportive. And they were like, well, then you can walk it. And I didn't even think about walking a mile. Like I knew I was out there, but I wasn't aware of like measurement like that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I would call like the Stanford, I would be like, oh, I did the loop, right?
Yeah, you're not even paying attention to the miles. You're doing miles all the right. time, but you're not paying attention to it.
Right. I'd never paid attention to miles. But then it became very, you know, then it becomes a very important thing. I want that point, you know, that point one or point two is really like, say it right. Right. Because it's really important.
Well, a half marathon is not 13 miles. Right. It's 13.
Right. It's 13, right. Exactly. Don't forget that. Right.
Yeah.
So I did that and I got into this, you know, community that was really very supportive and very, you know, just welcoming and a safe space for me to sort of be on that journey to becoming an athlete. And I guess, you know, they got me into signing up for a half marathon. And so within like 6 months, I did my first half marathon at the San Jose Rock and Roll Half Marathon.
I've done the rock and roll.
So that was like, I did the rock and roll. It's nice. Like my first half marathon. And then because I love to travel so much, I was like, you know, and they were all like, you know, because once you get in this community, it's like crazy.
I know.
It's so much. In some ways, it's a lot of pressure too, but then it's also like it's like so much camaraderie and so much love and so much support. So it's just like a lot of, it keeps your juices flowing and adrenaline going. So
it's easy to keep leveling up when you have a community around you.
Like
decisions.
Yeah. It just makes you push yourself harder but in a great way. Not in a way that's like, no one ever was like, you can't do it. They were like, yeah, like you always found someone who would be like, even if you had a naysayer, it was like 15 to 30 other people who were like, yeah, right on, do it.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's like theoretically not even a good decision, they'll still push you to do it.
Because still encourage. Right. Because some that came later where I was like, my body, right?
Yeah. And that comes in time when you know you start learning your limits and stuff, but they're putting you to level up. And that's
yeah.
How old were you when you ran your first half marathon?
I want to say that was 23, maybe 41 or 42. 41.
Yeah. And let's just be clear here, because I don't know if we were clear about this. That was your first race, was a half marathon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like you didn't start the traditional journey is that you start with a 5K and then you move to a 10K and then eventually you go to a half marathon. That was my journey, was that path. But I've interviewed people who have not taken that path. I've interviewed people whose first race was a marathon. You know, it happens. And so, you know, your first race was a half marathon. Did you ever second guess and wonder, like, maybe I should have taken this other path?
No.
That's fair. I mean, and you don't know what you don't know either, right?
Like, right. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I was like, they were like, you should sign up for a half marathon. I mean, I didn't even, like, it wasn't, I can honestly say that after I had signed up, I was like, oh, it's smaller races. Like I wasn't even aware that there were like smaller races.
It's, right.
I
mean, so, again, you don't know what you don't know. So,
right. It sounds so naive right now, but I just wasn't, you know, this whole world was just not even in my peripheral. Right.
Right. Like you had never played a sport. You had never run a race. You weren't into sweating. So being someone who is not into sweating, you sweat during a half marathon, typically. You even sweat during these hikes.
Yes, you do.
Like, what was the shift for you being someone who's so sweat averse to then like drenching it to like,
right,
how did that feel right, for right. you? And looking back on the years where you avoided sweating, like, how did that change feel?
Oh gosh, that's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I think that, you know, even though I was out there sweat, well, let me say this. So the San Jose Rock and Roll Half Marathon is actually sort of like a winter race for California.
Okay.
So it wasn't that
sweaty. I've run a Disneyland half marathon where it was 85 degrees at 5 a.m. So that's...
I did that too.
Okay. We're getting there.
Just go down that rabbit hole of all the races.
Uh-huh.
So I eventually, like at first, like I said, when I first started, I think I was just so focused on like letting, like grieving the old me. Like I had so defined myself by this relationship with my ex-husband and being a mom, and then also wanting, like feeling like I had let people down, like by getting a divorce. It was like all this other shit. And
there's a lot of societal expectations,
right, whether
they're true or perceived,
right,
that
right.
you were dealing with.
Right. And then what I came out of, so I wasn't even thinking like I was sweating, right? Because I know I was, right? Because I was like training, like air quotes training. So I was really just focused on the journey. And it wasn't until like probably after my half marathon, and then I started to train for my first marathon that I did in Paris, that I actually was like, God, I'm sweating. Like, it was like that. And by that time, I had come to the realization I was standing in my truth as a queer woman. I was like, you know, just out proud who I was. And like that journey, I was starting from there to like, after I had finished that first half marathon, it was like laying the foundation of like, for me standing in my truth. And then from there, it was just like building on that muscle and building on that and making myself stronger from there.
Right. So this transition into the athletic phase of your life was like a rebirth in a lot of ways. Like,
oh, God, yes.
Yeah. It
yes,
was a yes, new, yes. It was a new season of your life. And mm-hmm. it's as if it opened the door for you to be open about who you are. And like you said, like step into your truth.
Yeah, it really was me sort of having a rebirth. Yeah, like since then, my entire life has changed. And I don't regret any part of that part of my life. I have two beautiful children. My ex-husband and I our families are still very interwoven, and there's a lot of love there. But there's so much more internal peace that I found. And that journey included all the years that I used, where I was, you know, becoming an athlete played a big part in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because it's a difficult journey to become an athlete, especially if you haven't your whole life. And you're talking about, it's like, I ran my first marathon, and that means there's more than one. That's the process of training for yes. a marathon. I've only done one so far, but I know the process of training for a marathon and training that many miles. It's a mental and physical and emotional experience that can break you down in a lot of ways as it builds you up. So as that was paralleling, can you talk about how that process paralleled other areas of your life where you might've been breaking down to build back up again?
Yeah. So, you know, I was becoming a single mom. I had a very, very stressful career, and even finding the time, to be honest, to do the training, you know, when I signed up for the half marathon, you know, the next year I was like, maybe my half marathon was 2012, because I remember I'm going to do 13 half marathons in 2013, because I remember something like that.
Wait. Let's not gloss over that.
Yeah. So actually, I think my half marathon was in 2012, because in 2013, That was like the year I was going to do 13 half marathons in 2013. It was like coinciding with the last two digits of 20, whatever.
Right, right.
And so I did. I signed up for every month. I was like in a different city and doing different half marathons. And then I did my full marathon in Paris.
So wait, you did do 13 half marathons in 2013? Did you complete that? That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did that. I did some, like, what do you call those obstacle course races? Oh, yeah. I was just.
You went all in. You ran one half marathon in 2012. And then you went, like, and then it just, like, set something off in you.
Yeah.
And then you were doing all of the things, including 13 half marathons in 2013, full marathon, obstacle races. You're like, if it's a race, I'm going to do it, basically.
Yeah. And yeah, it definitely filled some space that I had, you know, I had this big gap in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And it filled the space. And it also, like, gave me something for me. Like, I hadn't had, I was a mom at 18. Mm-hmm. Like, I hadn't had me.
Right.
Right.
You were making up for lost time.
Right. My entire life, I did not have anything just for me. Like, my career, my marriage, like, all of this stuff was for other people. And becoming an athlete was all me, which is one of the reasons why I love it so much, because it was the one thing where I was able to show up for myself and really prove to myself that I could do something. Now, mind you, obviously I had other accolades, right? Like, I'm a mom, I had a great career, but, like, for some reason, that felt great, but becoming this athlete was just something that I didn't ever dream of. Like, when I was younger, I dreamed of getting married and having children and having a great career. I never dreamed of running a marathon. I never dreamed of riding my bike 545 miles. I never dreamed that I was going to do an Ironman. Like, I just didn't have those kind of dreams.
Yeah, it was just not on your radar. But what you mentioned, and I think the thing that makes it different, and the thing that a lot of women miss out on, because you talked about how you got accolades for being a mom and accolades at your job, but those are tied directly into what you're doing for other people.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't get accolades for being a mom if you didn't take such great care of your kids. You wouldn't get accolades at work if you weren't doing such a good job helping other people earn money. And so this is the one thing where when you get a medal, when you get the accolades for racing, it's because 100% of what you do for you. And that's huge. And I think, you know, a lot of women miss out on this side because we are trained, we are conditioned, we are raised to serve other people, to help other people, often at the expense of ourselves.
Right.
And so this was an opportunity, and you had this opportunity because of the just what was going on in your life, that you had that space open up for you to do this thing for you and experience this thing that brought you joy specifically because of what you were doing to make yourself better.
Yes. And I know I definitely have, you know, friends who were married, and it's caused, you know, some discomfort in their relationships because of the time they take to train for a marathon or the time they take to train for an Ironman and things like that. And, you know, they'd ask me, I'm like, this, you know, honestly, and, you know, my children were a little bit older, you know, so it was tough, but, you know, it was something that I, like, honestly, it's up there and high up in terms of, like, who I am as a person and what I've been able to do and what the level of joy it brings my life.
Yeah. And all women deserve this level of joy, whether or not it comes from athletics, but if it's something you want to pursue, you know, you talk about the friction that it causes in relationships, you know, based on what I've seen, it does require a level of communication with your partner, with your family. I'm sure you had to communicate with your sons about, you know, this is time I need. If it's something you want, you deserve it. And you need to do what you need to do to create that and hopefully get the support you need, which you got, you know, through your sons, you got through the Black Women Run community. Find what you need to do the things that bring you joy.
Yeah. And believe it or not, like, I had a really successful career, but because I did that for myself, I was able to show up so much more authentically in other areas that even those areas started to blossom and grow, right? Like,
yeah,
it was like my friendships, you know, really you know, where they may have suffered because I was just not in a good place. And I was like giving so much, like it's relationships, my career, you know, my own personal self-worth, like learning how to amplify that, learning how to be like, yeah, like I did that. Like, you know, it paid back in so many other ways that even go beyond just the physical aspects.
Yeah. And that's the foundation of the work I do is helping women see by pursuing your athletic potential and stepping into big challenges that you might not think you're capable of, but being able to do these things and grow into these things permeates into all areas of your life. The confidence that you gain from that, knowing what you're able to do. And you touched upon a couple of things. You touched upon Ironman races. You touched upon 545 mile bike rides, which we can talk about in a second. Just really huge things that when you got started on those hikes at Stanford, if you from the future came and visited you on that trail and said, you're going to do all this, you'd be like, shut up.
I'd be like, not me.
Shut up, future Stacy.
Yeah.
but the fact is you grew into that, and that gives you a level of confidence that then can spread into every area of your life. And you are a living example of that.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be an entrepreneur if it wasn't for that journey.
Me too.
I would not like understanding how, I mean, granted we go through, you know, not all of us, but some of us, you know, we birth things, right? Whether it's a business or whether it's actually childbirth, like we birth things and it is a really hard process, right? However, like the beautiful thing that comes from it is like so amazing. I know I would not even have businesses or even been able to have the courage to leave a corporate job, to leave multiple six figures on the table and be like, I can bet on me. I know I can deliver, right? I know anything is possible. Like that would not have come to me had I not been on that journey of becoming this athlete.
Yeah.
And really, again, like I said, this is not something that I don't even come from a family of athletes. Like, you know, I got a couple cousins and things like that and brother who might've played basketball, like, but you know, there's no like collegiate level type of athletic ability in our family, a couple, but like not really close, right? It's just not something that.
You didn't have a lot of examples or precedent.
I didn't have a blueprint for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a blueprint for it. So, yeah.
So you figured all this out through your own journey. But the life-changing effects that came from it are huge and massive. And it's allowed you to live big. Like,
oh, absolutely. And I'm like, that's like, I'm like you. I want women to feel this. I'm like,
right?
Oh
yes. Come on. I know, because so many women don't. So many women spend their whole lives living small and thinking that's all that's possible. And not allowing them to see what's possible. And you and I have very similar paths. You know, we started around the same age. I started a little younger, but still, we started later. We were not athletes growing up. You know, your sons were laughing at your mile time. My dad gave a toast at my wedding about how ridiculous it was that I became an athlete, like how inconceivable it was that I became an athlete. He gave me that was his toast at my wedding. Like, that's how ridiculous the idea was to me. You know, so I know you've experienced similar things, but you and I can see and speak to the life-changing benefits that come when you pursue something like this, because it forces you to live bigger. It challenges you to live bigger. And you saw it. You've lived it. So speaking of living bigger, you went from one half marathon to 13 half marathons, your first marathon, which was in Paris, and I love it. And it calls back to what you talked about earlier in our conversation about like, oh, running races gives me an opportunity to travel. I can travel and run races. I call those racecations. And my husband and I almost like for a while
done that.
Exclusively went on racecations, planned family visits around Spartan races that happened in that city. I know you know it.
Yes, I do.
So you started with road races, running races. How did you transition into triathlon?
So I transitioned, I transitioned into cycling.
Okay.
So a friend of mine that I met through Black Girls Run had signed up for AIDS Life Cycle. And AIDS Life Cycle is a 7-day, 545 mile bike ride from San Francisco to LA. It's fully supported and you raise money for the San Francisco and the LA AIDS Foundations, right?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was just blown away by the fact that she did this. And she didn't know this when she told me, but my mother died of AIDS. Mm. And I had been given to charities since she had died. And so I was like, wow, I could do this in honor of my mom. Like, this is great. And so I signed up to do the race. I had not been on a bike in over, like, I don't know.
Since you were a kid, right?
20, 30 years. I don't know. I hadn't had a bike. I had signed up for the race before I had a bike.
Right.
This is another example where I literally did not ride a bike more than a couple of miles before I signed up for this race. And I signed up for the race in like November, and then the race is in June. And so that was like a big feat for me. So I found a coach. Her name was Liza Ricciello. And she was a pro women's cyclist. She is a pro women's cyclist. She happened to live in the Bay Area. We bumped into each other. We met up. I was like, girl, I signed up for something.
We are starting from scratch. Mold me.
And she was like, what? And then it was the same year. And she was like, I told her, she was like, well, what do you do? I was like, oh, and I told her about how I had found running and I love running and I signed up for all these races and stuff. And she was like, listen, because I was going to go to, did you do like that Disney Dumbo?
I did the Dumbo Double Dare, yeah.
Yes.
At Disneyland, it's doing 10K and half marathon back to back.
Yes. So that's what I did. I did like the 5K to 10K.
Oh, yeah. You can do the 5K that weekend too. Yeah.
Half marathon and then the marathon.
So okay. That. Oh, that's the... Tinkerbell, that's the dopey one. Yeah. In Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. In Florida. So it was like four races. It was like 5K, 10K. It was crazy. Disney puts on a great race, by the way.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They stopped holding them at Disneyland a few years ago, but my husband and I, it was always around our anniversary. And so we would run the Disney races and do the Dumbo Double Dare for our anniversary every year for 3 years. They put on an amazing event, but then they stopped having races out here.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
Right. Well, I did that. But anyway, she saw like my schedule and she was like, literally, she was like, if you want to do, you have to choose, right? And I was just like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to run all the races and do this.
I wanted to run all the races.
That's tough. That's tough when that happens. Yes.
So I had to cut half of my race schedule. Mm. I didn't cut them all, but I cut half. And I trained for this charity ride. And my goal was that I wanted to ride, they call it EFI. It's called every effing inch of 545 miles. I wanted that EFI. And when I tell you I went, like, I trained with her, I was like in tears some days. Like, this is the heart. Like, what was I thinking?
Emotional journey. Yep.
Right. And then also, like, when I tell you it's this one hill in Shannon Drive or something, and I can't remember if it's like Los Altos or, but it's in the hills. And
it's a big hill.
I tell you, that hill broke me down. Like, I was in tears. And like, the fact that, you know, I could go back, you know, a month later and like climb it. And it, like, it's just all of those journeys. And like, yeah. I didn't realize California was so hilly when I signed up for the race. Oh my God. Oh my God. But I have to say, I was so proud of myself because I never got off my bike. Like, I would literally keep pedaling and I got up all the hills. They have these really crazy hills called, you know, on the ride, the Evil Twin Sisters, you know, like it's all these crazy, cause it's just a very hilly course. It's great because it's fully supported. There's someone always on the road. You can tell them, look, I had enough, take my bike and give me a ride back to camp. But it was a really great opportunity and I loved it. So I do that race every 2 years.
And that's, so it's 545 miles?
Yes.
EFI? Every time?
Every time.
Every time.
Except the last one.
Okay. No,
the third year I didn't do it. But the third year I was moving to Atlanta and I didn't train. I kind of showed up, which I would not suggest to anyone.
Well, that's how you learn, right?
Ooh, I was tumbled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was proud of myself for what I did do, but ooh,
yeah.
Not good for the body.
Yeah, no. And
as you age, no, not good for the body.
Yeah.
So train properly.
Train properly.
Train properly.
That led you to
Iron Man. The triathlon.
Nice.
That led me to triathlon. I was like, oh, well, I probably should, you know, again, same community, same type of people, and they're encouraging you. So I signed up for, I started at the right level this time.
Okay. You gained some wisdom spending some time. I mean, you'd already started running with a half marathon. I started cycling with a 545 mile.
Right.
And now you can be conservative about it.
Right. The coach was like, let's do this, you know, the smart way. So I started with like the sprint triathlon, then the Olympic, and then I did the half Ironman. And I was going to do an Ironman that year. And then I had to stop myself because I realized I was doing it because of like FOMO.
Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. Then you start dealing with, oh, I don't want to miss out on this race when really the right thing.
Yeah. And then it was a lot of people doing it, like who was like, well, I'm going to do it too. And they was like, you know, hadn't trained for a year to do it. And my coach was like, Stacey, you could do it. You could do it. But you also could just wait a year and do it and have the type of results you want to have. And she was right.
The benefits of a coach sometimes,
they
can help.
Yeah.
They can help you see things that you are not seeing for yourself.
And now being a coach myself, I totally get this. It's like, you know, we want it all right away. And sometimes it just makes sense to understand that the it's about the journey and not the destination all the time.
Yeah.
And so I learned so much more about myself as an athlete, taking that time to really train properly. And, you know, and when I tell you, you know, Ironman has, you know, their branding is anything is possible. By the time you finish that race, you do know that.
Yeah.
Like you absolutely know that.
That's amazing.
Because it's a long day.
Yeah. It's a long day.
Yeah. It's a long day. But it's something, you know, I don't get tattoos. I love people who do. I just don't. And so, I got like, I always keep it here. So actually, I'm not wearing it right now, but I have like my Iron Man necklace, right?
Yeah.
And I always keep it near because anytime things get tough, and things have gotten tough over the last year, because I do own a brick and mortar stretch studio.
Yeah.
And we have been impacted significantly by COVID.
Yes.
But it's that reminder. I keep that reminder close by that anything is possible. Just continue to push through, continue to show up, stand on your truth. Like all of the things that I've learned over this journey of being an athlete, I'm still using today to continue to better myself. And
there,
so
there are so many parallels. There are so many parallels with an athletic journey and a business owner journey as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep quoting this, but I was in a clubhouse room recently that they had Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank in there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I caught the tail end of it, but they asked her like, what is your like biggest piece of advice regarding business? And she said, business is just a race to the finish line with a bunch of obstacles in the way. And I was like, oh, like that thing I do obstacle races. Like this is an analogy that I understand. It's just a race to the finish line with a bunch of obstacles in the way. And you have to just get around them all. And so there are parallels and you're experiencing these obstacles with having a brick and mortar studio right now in the time of COVID. I totally understand that. But the lessons you learn in your athletic journey continue to pay off over and over again, as you say.
Oh yeah. Yep. Over and over again. Yeah. I mean, I literally, this might sound funny, but like even during like creating my coaching program, when I'm doing my curriculum, I look at it like it's a, you know, like how you would build a training program for an athlete. You know, you have this sort of build period and you know, you're building, and you have a step back week. And like, you know, you just, it's so many parallels. There's so much I've gained. And like I said, it's, you know, my family and friends, they were like, when I first started doing it, they were like, who are you?
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's like, you know, trying to get them to see, actually, this is me. Like, you know, not that I wasn't the other person, but this is so much more authentically me.
Yeah. Yeah. This is me growing into myself. This is me I've always been meant to be. Yes. So I want to transition a little bit. I like to talk about highs and lows in your athletic journey. So what I want to ask now is, what was your worst or lowest competitive moment, or maybe your worst day on the race course? Like, do you have a memory of a race like that?
Oh yeah, my first marathon was like that. It's kind of funny.
Why is that? Okay. It's always nice when, you know, you can laugh about it now, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that nice going through it. So I had trained, and you know, when you train, you're like, at the time I was like, wanted to get like Oprah's time or something. I was like, oh, well, I want to get like, you know, under 4:30, you know, it's my first time, whatever. So I trained really well. And what I did not factor in was, one, the weather. Mm-hmm. It's cold, very cold. Two, the cobblestone streets.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds uncomfortable.
Very. And then I had some GI issues. Man, and if you, you know, when you're training, you know, you try to factor in all of that, right? During training, you're trying to figure out what works for your tummy, what doesn't. And during my training, I thought I had it kind of down pat, but I don't know what happened. But I was on pace to finish with the 4:15 group. I was actually ahead of time, I think. And then I would say right around mile 14 or so, my stomach starts to scrumble. And I'm like, what is that? By like mile 15, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. And that's not a good place in the world for that to happen.
16, 17, yeah. I'm down to a shuffle. And this might sound really funny to everyone, but I'm like squeezing the life out of my butt cheeks.
I've been there.
Why
don't you stop, right?
I don't know. Like, it never even crossed
my mind. I mean, I ran a marathon just ahead of COVID times, and even I used a porta potty.
I don't know why I did not. I still don't know why. Yeah. And then like, I'm trying to drink a little bit, but I'm not. And then like, now it's just like a shuffle. And it's like, I'm squeezing my butt cheeks like crazy. I'm just like, oh my God. I was like, and all I'm thinking is like, I'm going to be like on the internet forever, like with poop going down my legs. And then like, I'm just like, I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm trying to, you know, your brain's like sort of like that. And then I look up. And, you know, I see that I'm behind the 440 group or something like that, 445 group or something like that. And then I look and I see the mile marker that says mile 20. And my crazy ass, I stop and take a selfie for Facebook, like, mile 20, only a 10K from here. And like this big smile.
Your brain is like in another universe at that point.
But that's exactly the shift that needed, because then I started to pick up my shuffle. Mm-hmm.
Because it is just the 10K and you're like, I know I
can do that. Right. And this is where I'm like, how powerful. And again, remember, I hadn't been like, I've been running for like maybe a little over a year, and I'm starting to recognize how your brain can take your body where it doesn't necessarily want to go, right? You can keep it moving, like you just keep your legs moving. Yeah.
And it's, they and say so mind over matter, and it's that legit.
And so I did that, and I started to, you know, do a little shuffle run and everything. But you know, I made it to the finish line. It was clearly missed my time. I think I was like, I want to say I was 5:05 or something like that. No, I'm sorry. I was 4:55:05. That's what it was. And so I was a little like beyond the time, but I was so proud. But then afterwards, oh my God, like I was so like, I don't know what happened, but it's always a great story to tell, because like, I think that you don't really like, it sounds fine because, you know, I really said it too, like we love vacations for races, but you really have to factor some stuff in, right?
Right.
Like I didn't even know about the cobblestone streets, my legs and everything, you know. But it also goes to show that I trained well, because the next day I was like, oh, let's go to London. And you know,
you could go sightseeing, you could walk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now 2 days later, it's a different story, but that's, you know,
yeah,
that's to be expected.
What's the biggest thing you learned from that experience?
Well, the biggest thing I learned was like, I had, you know, I obviously could have gotten out of that situation had I just, you know, stopped focusing on, like, obviously, and it seemed really important at the time. I don't even know if that's like the right thing to say, but my mindset was really powerful. That was like the one thing, like, that's the first time really during a race where I really had to be like, oh my God, like, and my mindset like took over. And once I was able to shift my mindset, then I was able to finish.
Yes.
Right. I didn't even think of, like, I wasn't really thinking of quitting, but I was miserable. Right. And then I saw the sign and I was just like, well, wait a minute, Stacey, you can do a 10K. Like, you can walk a 10K. Like, girl, let's get this done. And it's funny because it's like the same type of thing happened during my Ironman, not with the stomach issues or whatever, but just from fatigue from the day. And I started walking at the end of the race. And I was like, you know, I had this mantra that I was just kept saying in my head, move with purpose towards the finish line. And that's what literally kept me going.
Yeah.
So I recognized, like, you know, and that was a big gap between the time, not really a big gap, but a few years between the time I did that marathon in Paris and I did my Ironman in Boulder. But that same mindset shift was there where it's like, okay, use your mind, shift your mindset, focus on moving forward, focus on positive thoughts, focus on, you know, the end result, keep moving forward. And that's something I continue to use today, even in business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, endurance racing is just as much mental as it is physical, possibly more mental than it is physical. And it is a roller coaster when you go on those long races, because when you're at mile 14, 15, it's hard to like chunk it down like you did when you got to mile 20 and you're like, I got a 10K. It's hard to see that. And that's when you go into the dark place. And then if you're having GI issues, it's even darker. But these are tools that you can use to make the experience better, to move you forward. And next thing you know, you're crossing a finish line. So conversely, what was your favorite race, your highest point, your most, you know, best day?
Honestly, I mean, it'd probably be a tie between the first age life cycle I did and my Ironman race, like, for different reasons, obviously. Mm-hmm. For the first time I did an AIDS life cycle, to ride every inch of 545 miles with all types of elevation. I think over the course of the 7 days, it's something like, I don't know, like 18,000 to 20,000 elevation or something. But that felt so gratifying. Like, I was in tears. It was for my mom, so it was very emotional.
Yeah.
My mom was 51 when she died, so I'm, you know, getting ready to hit that number myself. And I feel like I have so much more life to live. And even back then when I did the race, that's how I felt. But that felt very powerful. And then, like, Ironman was just amazing. Like I said, by the end of the race, I was like, move with purpose towards the finish line, move with purpose towards the finish line. And then, like, right when I got down to that, like, last, and I had no idea I was getting down to that point because it was dark and my watch had died, but I just had this feeling I was getting close to the finish line. And all of a sudden I got like this really great big burst of energy. And all of a sudden I'm running a 9 minute mile a day.
Isn't it funny how that happens? Yes.
Right. And it's just the adrenaline of like, yeah, hey, I think the finish line's, you know, close, and knowing that, you know, I will always be an Ironman.
Yes. You know? That is a designation, like Olympian, like ultra athlete. Yeah. Like when you're an Ironman, you're an Ironman.
1% of the world ever does it. So right. Like, I'm in that 1%. So I feel really good about that. That's always going to be. And like I said, all of the lessons from the very first time that I started my athletic journey to now, it's really all like what I've learned as an athlete. I honestly really wish I would have learned some of this as a kid.
I mean, right? I'm the same. It's like, I wish the sports that I've played, I wish existed when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, roller derby and obstacle racing were my thing. And it's like, if mm-hmm. they existed when I was a kid, I might've been athletic my whole life, but that wasn't our journey. And that's okay. You know, we have a different journey.
Right.
And we're on the journey we're meant to be on.
Right. And you might have taken a different path, right?
Exactly. So you started all of this when you were 41?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you were in your 40s when you started. You're at the tail end of your 40s. Let's talk about what it is like doing this type of stuff in your 40s, having started in your 40s. What types of unique challenges do you face as someone who has been an air quote older athlete your entire time as an athlete?
Yeah, so I would say because I came into it later, I didn't know as much. So in the beginning, I was prone to like injuries from like overuse, not stretching. You know, I own a stretch studio now. Oh my God, the power of stretching.
Yes.
Oh my God, the power of stretching.
Now you're helping others at least not fall into that.
Like, it's like, I wish someone would have told me that. You know, I would say something that was a challenge for me is that I was perimenopausal at the time too. So that had an impact in, you know, my race. I'd be arguing with the coach, like, I'm giving it my all and the results aren't showing the way that I thought they should show. And also not being able to you're working all hard, you're expecting to drop weight. And it's all these other things. And I had to really just check myself. I'm like, Seisha, are you doing this to drop weight? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you so focused on that? Why are you stressing yourself like you're going to be on the podium somewhere? this is not you're not trying to become a professional athlete. So I had to really check myself. And that's not to say that others who are on this journey can't become pros later in life, because there's this whole, and I will tell you, the 40 plus age group is competitive.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Like competitive.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's some women out there who's like killing it. Yes. So you have to really I would say I had to really check myself to make sure I was not doing it for other people and making sure it was still serving me the way, this journey, it's brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Right. And it's taught me so much about myself. It helped me really be able to stand in my truth. Like, it gave me all type of inner strength. And so I had to really stop focusing on a lot of the other stuff, if that makes sense. But I will say, the injury stuff was serious, though. I will say that.
Yeah. And especially not knowing much about what you need to do for recovery, going all in like you did in the beginning. It's natural that you had some injury situations, because, you know, it's like you're a kid, you're in your 40s, but you're experiencing this with childlike glee that you just want to do all the things and you all the things and don't want to have the FOMO, but then you learn the hard way when the injuries happen. Yes. And at the time when you were starting, you said you were going through perimenopause. I know, now is it starting to come into the light, the things you can mitigate menopause as an athlete. But back then, probably coaches weren't aware of that. Nobody was talking about that. So it was probably a more difficult journey for you back then.
You know, honestly, I have to tell you, this is going to sound so my coach was a professional women's pro, right? Happened to meet her by chance in our local town. I was like, hey, can you coach me?
Yeah.
And then she knew, what is Stacy's name? But Stacy wrote a book.
Stacy Sims?
Yes.
Yes.
So she connected me with Stacy Sims.
Oh,
Stacy
okay. Sims
gave me an entire program.
Okay. I am envious of you.
It was early in her where I would honestly, the work that she's doing now is probably from the betas and stuff that she was doing when we were working together, because everything was built around understanding, she had me, go check my FSH levels. Mm-hmm. And she was the person that really helped me to go communicate with my primary care physician about the things that was going on in my body. And I'm thinking what is going on? Especially because I was a person that had very regular periods. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden things was going wonky. And then I would go talk to my primary care physician and she would be like, oh, it's all the workouts you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah. No.
I'm supposed to exercise. Isn't that right?
Right.
You know? And she's like, well, but it was everything from the night sweats to what I was eating. And so I actually was very blessed in that I had a really good team to become an aging athlete at the time.
Yes, you did.
Because I had a lot of information. Stacy was amazing. You know, we have, touch points where we'd chat and I'd be like, well, this is what I did. And she'd switch up my training program to, if I had an injury, she'd switch things up just like my coach would. And so by the time I got ready to do my Ironman and stuff, I was dialed in pretty well because I had started working with my coach probably 2 years before I did triathlon, because I started with her with the cycling for Ace Life Cycle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm currently taking Dr. Stacy Sims' Menopause for Athletes course. So I feel the work you did with her as a beta probably led to this point so many years later, where again, she's reaching new coaches, she's reaching new people. And hopefully now these principles are going to become a little more mainstream in when it comes to women's coaching and coaching aging women. So that's, I am envious of you right now that you, that you got to have that experience. Yeah,
it's funny because her, she had this company called, it'll come to me later.
Right.
But anyway, it was like, I was like diehard, like, yes, yes. And all the research she had did about that. You know, women are not small men. Like, I loved it. And it was like, sure. It was great to be in that sort of that pod. Right. And the Bay Area is like that. It's kind of, you know, small community of, you know, women cyclists and women athletes there. So it's great to be in that container.
Yes. Oh, very cool. All right. So I talked about the challenges real quick and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but switch over to what kinds of unique advantages do you find age provides, helps you participate in these types of sports and athletic endeavors at the stage of life you are in now?
I actually think it's great. Like, I don't, like, I think more of us should come into it. Like, I think that we probably talk ourselves out of it because of, you know, we haven't done it before, or you have naysayers around. I did have a couple of naysayers, even my own family, and it, you know, kept me from, it might keep you from doing it, but the benefits of it go, I talk about this with stretching all the time too. The benefits go far beyond the stretch, and the benefits go far beyond you becoming an athlete, because you become that Olympian of your life. And when, like, once you do that, once you own that power, once you see what you are capable of, it just literally sets your soul on fire and ignites something within you that is like, you won't be able to put that fire out. It will only keep burning. It will only get bigger. You will only do bigger things. And yeah, I like to say life doesn't shrink as we age. It actually expands to so many more opportunities. And I think that, you know, becoming an aging athlete even is, it can even only enhance that even more. So,
yeah. I mean, you said when you complete the Ironman, there's nothing you can't do. Like, you know this in your soul that there is nothing you can't do. And so when you, when you step into different challenges, different endeavors, you know, you said you're an entrepreneur and started a business, and anything that might've scared you previously in life, or you might've said no to, you can then approach it with an attitude of there is nothing I can't do. Right. That changes everything.
Absolutely.
It changes everything.
It does. It does. I know I would not have ever quit my job and just, without a plan or something, because I'm a, you know, in some ways I like control, right? Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I could do it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, I could do it. Like, anything is possible. Right. I can do it. And like, I tell people all the time, like, you ask me to go run a marathon to tomorrow, I could do it. I'm gonna be like, it's gonna be slow.
Yeah. I'm not gonna have fun, but I can do it.
I'm going to be sore, but it might take me 8 hours,
but I can
go 26.2 miles.
There's so much power in that. There's so much power knowing you can wake up and run any distance. You know, you can run, like, I know, like, on any given weekend, I can go out and run a half marathon and I probably enjoy it, you know, and there's power to just that knowledge, because other people do not have that knowledge about themselves. Yeah. But you can.
And they put limiters on it, right? They say, I can't run a half marathon. Well, okay, go walk it. Mm-hmm. When people tell me they can't do a half marathon, I'm like, you walk 2 hours in the mall. Why can't you walk 2 hours in a half marathon?
It's all about the incentive.
Right? You know, it's about the story you're telling yourself. Yes. And you know, I'm a mindset coach, right? So I'm all about the stories you tell yourself. Like, you have to change the story you're telling yourself to a more powerful story. You have to challenge these self-limiting beliefs you put on yourself.
Yeah.
You have to stop saying, I can't run a half marathon. Okay, why not? Well, I've never done it before. Okay, but why not? Like, okay, so you haven't done it before. We could try it. So what else? Like, I will what else you to death.
Yeah, we're going to get you out of that never space. We're going to get you out of that because you're saying I can't do it. And you're translating it to, I will never be able to do it.
Right. Right. You have to change it to a more powerful story. So then it's like, well, what do you think needs to happen in order for you to do it? And then it's like, here's the number one. I know you hear this with your clients. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's look at your time.
Look at your schedule. Know? That's right, one of the first things that I help my clients with when they join my membership. I have a course called Ageless Simplicity where they we literally help them find time in their schedule that is there. You don't realize it's there because the chaos that you live in, but it's there.
And the choices you make, right?
Yeah.
Like you, if you are saying no to this, you are saying yes to something else.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you want to say yes to?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
do you want this? What do you want? If you want it, how can you do it? You can do it. Yeah. So I like to say it's not, I can't, it's just not yet. So that opens up possibility. And then that can lead to I will. So
absolutely.
Awesome. So do you have any competitive plans for the future?
I do. And only because I feel like we're so suppressed this year, right? Or the last year. I feel like we just, you know, I have done, this is probably my most inactive 15 months ever.
Me too.
Like I was like in the beginning, I was like, oh, I got the COVID 10. I got like the COVID 25 now. And I don't even care about weight. Like,
right.
I don't even care about weight. Yeah. I'm talking about 25 pounds. I used to be able to be like, like getting in these 25 pound weights. I'm down to the 10 pound weights, girl. I'm like, this is
right. Enough. And when you know what you could do, you also know what you can no longer do.
Right.
And that's legit. So, like it happens.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to the weather breaking here. I love outdoor stuff. I now live in Wichita, Kansas, which is so different from the Bay Area. It's super flat and I find it very challenging to ride on. I would like when I was in the Bay Area, all I did was pray for flat roads because nothing is flat in California. Right. So you just got all these hills, and now I'm on these flat roads and it kills me. I'm like, oh my God, like it's like, it doesn't use enough of your,
it's like being on a treadmill, right? It's just like,
yeah, it doesn't give you any, like there's not enough ventilations. Like, so we have to, that's the goal, is to find some places to put our bikes in the car and go find some hills to find to ride. And so I'm really looking forward to the weather breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into running. I definitely want to do a fall race. So I'm going to sign up. I've been looking for a fall running race to do. So I'm going to try to find one.
Yeah. I am looking forward to getting back into competition as well. I feel you. So if you could leave us with one parting piece of wisdom, what would that be?
You're not too old.
You're not too old.
Yeah. You're not too old.
So stop saying just start. That. Stop saying just start. You're too old. Yeah.
Just start. Start where you are. Start what you have. Just start.
Yeah. And it's what you did. I mean, you progressed really quickly, but you started with those hikes, just simple hikes where you weren't measuring mileage and you were just walking and being alone with your thoughts at a time when you really, really needed to do that. And that's, so just start where you are.
And give yourself permission. Women don't allow themselves to have that time, right? We feel guilty taking time for ourselves. Give yourself permission to just go someplace, take a walk. You know, you don't have to go to the trails like I did. Just take a walk by yourself.
Yeah.
And get comfortable with just your thoughts, right? And opening yourself up in that way.
That can be
take yourself permission.
That can initially be a really uncomfortable place for women.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's important. It's an important place for us to be. And I, you know, that's why I love running trails, because I like you have nature around you and you're alone. Like my husband and I go to a trail together, but he's much faster than me. So I do run alone on the trail and I love it. Like I come up with my best ideas out on the trail, like for my business even. Like that's where my mind gets really expansive, is when I'm running by myself or hiking by myself. So there is so much power in that. And so many people are missing out on that power. So give yourself permission, and we are here giving you permission. Give yourself permission as well to experience that. Stacey, how can people find you and get to know you and follow you online?
Awesome. Yes. So I am at stacygriner.com, StacyGriner.com. I am also on Instagram as I am Stacey Griner, and you can find me on Facebook under the same handle and of course, LinkedIn.
Awesome. 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 So and do you do online stretching classes?
We do. My stretch studio is called Kika, K-I-K-A Stretch Studios in Midtown Atlanta, and we do offer virtual sessions.
And that's important because I'm even thinking about that. I'm like, I know I need to stretch more.
People generally don't. It's a 60-minute session. So
that's a lot of stretching for people that people are not stretching. But yeah, I'm doing a few minutes after my workouts, but I know that I would be better served as a 46-year-old athlete if I was more dedicated and more intentional with my stretching. And especially those who start younger, like they think it's like, oh, I don't need this. It's an afterthought. And then you get older and it's like, oh, this needs to not be an afterthought anymore.
Yeah. I mean, so many of our clients come in, even student athletes. We love trying to get student athletes in so that they can start doing this earlier. But, you know, we see all ages from people. Our youngest client is, I think, 12 and our oldest is 81.
Fantastic.
So, you know, we see a breadth of clients, you know, clients come in with all types of reasons, mostly neck pain, back issues. And then some of them are just like, I ain't touched my toes in 30 years. I like to touch my toes again. And they'd be like, and they're always asking, do you think I can touch my toes? Yeah, you can.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm dealing with a runner's injury right now. So I'm just like, oh, I need to be taking care of that. So
yes,
that's the fun of being an ageless athlete.
Yes. But if you do it consistently, you'll have less injuries.
And that's what it's about. It's not, you know, when you're waiting till the injury happens and then you're dealing with the rehab, it's better to do the prehab to get ahead of it and do this work so that you don't get injured, because it's much more fun to not get injured.
Yes.
I can speak from experience, and I know you can too.
So me too.
It's way more fun to just not get injured.
Yeah. And as we age, it takes longer to bounce back. So it's really important to take care of yourself. Like, as your time for recovery, whether it's stretching, massage, and all, it should be just as important as your training schedule. Like,
absolutely.
It should just be in there.
It's, yeah, it is not an afterthought. It is a part of your regimen.
It's not an optional. Optional workout.
Nope. It is part of your workout routine.
Right.
Stacy, thank you so much for being on the Seasoned Athlete Podcast. I love your journey and I love your story. And you touched on so many topics that are super, super important, particularly for our women listeners. Starting later, I know it's been requested of me to spotlight more later in life athletes. And, you know, your story of transition and rebirth and stepping into your power and stepping into your confidence and all of the amazing life changes that have come from that all through your athletic journey. It's just so important for our listeners to hear. So I know they're going to get a lot out of this story, or, you know, having listened, they just got a lot out of this story. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us and being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
If you have dreams of achieving bold athletic and fitness goals like the seasoned athletes you listen to on this podcast, a key part of doing that is a consistent fitness program and routine. And if that's something that's just not happening for you right now, I can help you get it going again. It all starts with your first 5 days. Your first 5 days is a free mini challenge that's all about setting that foundation to get you back into your body, your energy, and your confidence with simplicity and ease. Each day during your first 5 days, you'll get a mini audio training that you can listen to while you move. You'll get simple tips and action steps you can use to make fitness a part of your everyday life in a way that doesn't feel heavy, hard, or stressful. Where you go from there? Well, the sky's the limit. For now, though, start with your first 5 days. Get it for free at robinleggett.com/5.